There you go. In our daily mass readings this last week or two, we've been hearing like this awesome story of Saul and David. And Saul was the first king of Israel. And he was okay at first, but then he turned kind of corrupt. And the guy started thinking that he was God, and the guy, you know, we all make mistakes, but have you ever met somebody who didn't really care that they made mistakes a whole lot and just kind of was tyrannical and all that? And so God appoints a time for a new king, and he looks around and he finds the most unsuspecting person, which is David. David. David becomes the second king of Israel, and David is a very godly man. Now, David also made mistakes, but he repented. He was sorry. He sought not to make mistakes. And David, the second king of Israel, brought God back. Because during Saul's time, the Ark of the Covenant had gone out of Israel. For 70 years, the Ark of the Covenant was gone. And then all of a sudden, like, David's like, no. As long as I'm king, the Lord is going to be in the middle of everything. And so we had this reading at school mass the other day where the men are carrying the Ark of the Covenant back. And they put God back where God belongs, right in the middle of everything, right in the middle of the city. And everybody rejoices. And David is so happy that he dances. So like during school mass, we did the Catholic dance, which I won't do now because somebody would probably write a letter to the bishop. But it was really cool. Like, we would be dancing too. Imagine if the tabernacle was gone for 70 years. 70 years, no tabernacle. I cannot imagine life without a tabernacle. We Christians can't imagine things without the Blessed Sacrament, without the tabernacle, without the body of Jesus. Like, it's impossible for us to think about it. But that's basically what happened in Israel, was that the Ark of the Covenant was gone. And so then this moment of perfect joy, and like David's so happy that he's dancing, and then he buys everybody lunch meat, and he, this says slices of meat, and bread, and like all this cool stuff, and he rejoices. We have a job also, don't we, of making sure that God is always in the middle. Really, God is in the middle of your life, whether you like it or not. Our job is to reverence that, is to really live in knowing and reverencing the fact that God is the center of my life. And anything else that I imagine to be there is phantasm and falsehood. That, like, God is the middle of everything. And we reverence that. And we live our life that way, which is why every good parent says, in my house, we will pray. In my house, I will teach the faith. In my house, we will live the faith. We will love. This will be a domestic church, this house. It will be a godly place. And parents do that. Priests, we should be doing that. All of that. Archbishop Daniel B. Klein, who just went home to God on Thursday morning, impacted my life a lot. Archbishop Daniel was very much like David. He was unsuspecting. Our first reading talks about how a prophet was like picked out of, Moses says, a prophet will be picked from among you. Like, I just think about Archbishop Daniel B. Klein as a little man, I think his name was Mark, and he went to a Catholic school in Jasper, Indiana, at St. Joseph's. And I just think about like the 30 other boys in his class that had their ties and wore their suits, and how, for whatever reason, God picked that one. But just like David, Archbishop Daniel said, look, as long as God is going to be in the middle of everything. God will be the center point of our diocese, of our state. It's going to be. And he did it. And one of the best ways, one of the most important things for Archbishop Daniel B. Klein, if you read his book, Surprised by Grace, it's a beautiful book. But he was always writing about Catholic schools and the importance of the Catholic school, of as far as keeping God in the middle of a kid's heart and keeping God in the middle of our church. In our gospel today, we see Jesus going into the synagogue and teaching. The synagogue was different from the temple. The synagogue had a rabbi. Rabbi means teacher. The temple had the priest for the place of sacrifice and all that. Now, the synagogue was still a place of prayer, but it was kind of mostly a religion school. And so our Catholic school system, which we treasure, has its roots even before Christianity began. Because even in the Jewish tradition, you had religion schools, and that were connected to the temple, which was the place of like the Sabbath worship and all that. And it's a really kind of cool thing to realize just like how important, like how historical, how biblical, how theological our Catholic schools are. We have Catholic schools because Jesus, in his love, taught people. And he still, this is his body, the church. And in and through his body, the church, he continues to teach. And one of the most important ways that he does it is through places like our glorious school right next door. I just want to take a moment of silence and like thank God for our school. Because it has changed so many lives. Like, it has, I always say I wouldn't be a priest if it weren't for my Catholic school. I grew up at St. Charles in Bloomington. I just had a wedding there for somebody who went, we're all a family, right? Like, I had there was a girl who was a few grades down from me, but I did her wedding yesterday there. And, like, I just think about how different my life would be. You know, the Catholic school, we teach religion. That's a given. But maybe the most important thing about it is that it's an atmosphere of love. It's a school of love. It's like an atmosphere of love. It's an atmosphere of faith. And it's an atmosphere of a family that our kids get to live and breathe every day. Every day. And you grow up in it. And it's like it seeps in ways that you just can't imagine. And that's one reason we give the Lord thanks. You know, it's like I said at the beginning of Mass, only 6 years of the history of our 150 years did we not have one. And as soon as we opened the doors, well, the original church was my house. As soon as the doors opened, people were already asking, like, when is the school going to come? You know, it's that important. It's hard to imagine our church without our schools. Archbishop Daniel always said that it's a very important, they're important in terms of keeping the Lord center of everything. During his time, the enrollment in Catholic schools in our archdiocese grew by 30,000 students. What a man. What a bishop he was. I learned a lot of things from him, maybe I'll talk about those later. But he did change my life. And he changed the life of our diocese in important ways. And he kept the Lord center in a lot of important ways also. I just wanted to ask our teachers if you would please stand. Those who teach at St. Joe's, would you please stand? I would like us all to give them a round of applause and thanksgiving. Thank you very much for all that you do. Nobody loves kids like our teachers love kids, and so it's so important. One of my favorite things that I get to do as a priest is teach religion class to the fourth and fifth graders in the weekdays. I just love it. I think it's the best. And I go over there all the time. Mrs. Simpson runs out of coffee all the time because I'm always in there. But we give the Lord thanksgiving today for our schools and for the Lord being in the center. And we just pray in a very special way, God's blessing upon our school system. Thank you in a special way to you, Mrs. Fuel. You do so much for us, and we're very grateful. I'm thinking about doing something crazy. And I want to bring our festival back. And There's one weekend in May that the rides are available. I think we can do it. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.